So I'm here, so there isn't an incident, but there is the possibility. So I'm here to work on BP's behalf with the Unified Command, the U.S. Coast Guard, and the Department of Environmental Protection of Florida to prepare. So we're doing planning, we're looking at resources, we're securing whatever necessary resources we need based on the current state of the oil spill.
What's the worst case scenario that you're preparing for? Let's say the oil comes near the coast, endangering like the mangroves or the seagrasses or the coastal, the beaches. What are some things you can do to prevent that?
So many people may not be familiar. I know the emergency response organizations are that there is an area contingency plan across the entire Gulf Coast. And that area contingency plan identifies the sensitive areas that need to be protected. And it also identifies the protective methods for that area. So what we do is we take those plans, we go through them, we ensure that they're accurate, that nothing's changed since they were developed, and work the strategies for deploying the right types of resource. And in many cases, there's a variety of things that you can do to protect the shoreline. Boom can be placed. There's also cleaning up that can be done to reduce the impact on the shore, and there are other technologies that, if necessary, can be deployed.
Does that include chemical dispersants when it's near the coast, or are they just using that out in the open Gulf?
Yeah, there's no intent to use chemical dispersants, and it's actually not permitted within a certain distance of the shore.
And booms, how well do booms protect coastlines from oil spills? Is it only in calm weather, or is it generally protective of the shoreline?
I'm not qualified to answer that question. What we do is we follow the area contingency plan, and I think with anything that is deployed, depending on the environmental conditions and the condition of the equipment, those drive the effectiveness of that protection. So we do it for a reason. We're doing it to protect the shoreline, and we're going to deploy every method we know. And the consultants that we have, both with the state agencies as well as BP, give us the best information, and hopefully we develop the right tactics to optimize that protection.
What's the partnership like between the Coast Guard, BP, and the Florida Department of Environmental Protection? Are there certain roles that each of you are responsible for?
We've been in a unified command across the Gulf Coast, and here in St. Petersburg, it's been very strong between BP, the Coast Guard, and the Department of Environmental Protection. Relationship's strong. We have been challenged by the local agencies to manage and do what we can to prepare them to protect their shoreline. So they are stern about what they want, but we do come to agreement. We have so far on what measures we can employ, and so far it's been, and I expect going forward, a very strong relationship between the all agencies that are working with BP to protect shoreline.
And my final question is, you're preparing in case there's an emergency. What does it look like? What's the forecast for potentially for the oil to reach West Central Florida?
So my expertise is not in the projection. If you look, the experts are NOAA, and NOAA has a 72-hour projection that is updated daily. And right now, the extent of the oil spill is over 300 miles away from the Tampa-St. Pete area. So we're not assuming that nothing could happen. We're preparing for the likelihood that it could happen, but that doesn't require us to deploy resources now, because deploying resources too early actually has more of a negative impact. You want to deploy them at the right time, and that's what we're working with NOAA and the state agencies to ensure that we have the plans that get us out in the right places at the right time.